Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Generations change, nations change, but God through Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to the fourth stanza as we think of the resurrection that we commemorated a short time ago. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. We need the resurrected Christ to live in us. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Reading once again from Colossians chapter 4, also some other scriptures later, chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let's pray that we'll be able to do that rightly, to God's glory, to the good of the church, the world, ourselves. Let's pray that God's name will be glorified in it. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come, as Paul wrote earlier, giving thanks in His name. Only can we be thankful if we have Thy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Thou hast said, without me, you can do nothing. And without Thee, we cannot love, we cannot be thankful, we cannot be faithful, we cannot even have a true and right faith that is a trust in Thee. We need the faith of Thee as well as the faith in Thee. And we pray that Thou would work that in the church in reviving it, that Thou would also work in the world, both Jew and Gentile, that there might be many beginnings of faith, many that will turn to Thee in repentance and faith, in repentance and submitting to Thee, and in faith trusting in Thee, especially to know, Lord Jesus, the need of Thy death for us and Thy shed blood, and then also, as Paul could say, to have Thy resurrection power. And we pray that Thou would give that in the church again, that the church itself might be made obedient, that it might be made especially to want to bring the gospel to the rest of the world, to soon preach the gospel to every creature. We pray that that might be done in our time, if it could be Thy will. We see, sadly, the falling away. We think of what could otherwise come if Thou dost not give us these blessings in Christ, that judgment could soon come upon us as it did on others in the past. And we pray, Father, there might be a reviving. There might be a true repentance, a godly sorrow, as there was in Corinth, as there was in the Great Awakening, in the time of Edwards and others that preached Thy word and especially prayed for awakening and for reviving. And we pray that Thou would teach us to do as we have read, to continue in prayer. And if we have not begun, that Thou would make many to begin. As the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And as we sang of David's confession last week, put the verse in music from Psalm 51, God be merciful to me. On Thy grace I rest my plea. Yes, Thy grace in Christ. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings that are needed by many. We give thanks for what we have in this area, in the temporal blessings, the sunshine and the rain, the peace and the freedom, the food and the raiment in abundance. We pray for those that are in hunger, the homeless, the persecuted ones, the war-torn lands. We pray for the many that are terribly in trouble, especially the women in the war that have seen their husbands killed and they and their children taken captive and are made slaves. We pray especially for them, that Thou wilt teach them and give them the hope in Christ. We pray for other needs in the schools, in the workplace, in government. We pray for our leaders. We pray that Thou wilt put Thy fear in their hearts. We pray that Thou protect them from the evil forces that are there to destroy our nation and other nations, not wanting us to have the blessing in Thee, but calling good evil and evil good. And especially, Father, the murderous ways that we have toward the unborn, we pray that Thou would open our eyes and our hearts to it all through Christ. Amen. We have here Paul's exhortation to this church, but also to us. Continue in prayer. If there is to be a blessing, it will have to be asked for. James reproves us when he says, you have not because you ask not. And another way of reproof is, you ask amiss to consume it on your lust. How often we pray for things that aren't to God's glory, that aren't for the kingdom of God, just for our selfish ways, our prideful ways. And here the prayer was, first of all, the same with thanksgiving, praying in thanksgiving for what God has given and how we need, as it were, the balance of that, to be thankful for what we're given, and to know rightly what we need. And also that God will teach us what we need that we may not know. We think of the church such as Laodicea. The Lord Jesus said to them, "You say you are rich and need of nothing." They didn't know their need. They thought they were rich. But they were poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind. They needed the things that only Christ could give them. And he set them before them and then said also to them, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." That's what we need in the church, as well as repentance and more prayer. I need it, and I'm sure others need it as well. We read of times before the Great Awakening that the people prayed all night. I've only ever been in one all-night prayer meeting in my life, and that was in India, not in this country. When we think of the prayer meetings that were formerly in the church, much more than today. We think of our country, the situation we're in today, what we talk about, what we want to do, what we want others to do. I think formerly, if we would see as many children killed in the schools as there have been in these recent weeks and months and years, we would probably have a president that would call us to a day of prayer. It was done in the past by our former presidents, National Day of Prayer. And we need that. We have people protesting. We have people gathering together and coming in crowds. This has to be done. That has to be done. Many things have to be done. And first of all, pray. Pray for wisdom. It isn't just one thing. We could take the guns away, every one of them. Long before there were guns, there was murder, killing. We read in the time of Noah, violence. So much violence, God repented that he had made the earth. It grieved him at his heart, the violence that was taking place. No guns, just violence there. And all through the ages, it has been there. It has been there from the very beginning, Cain and Abel. We think of David's sons. David himself and others, all has been there in different ways. And we need to pray like Daniel did when he thinks of what took place in Judah 70 years before he prayed, as we see it recorded in Daniel chapter 9. He read then the promise that God had given to Jeremiah that 70 years of desolation would come on Judah. One of the reasons it came was God says he could not pardon Judah because of the innocent blood that flowed. And the blood flowed in Jerusalem terribly. Different ways of their death coming, some of it directly from God, the pestilence, the famine. And then we read also the noisome beast and the sword that came from Nebuchadnezzar, killing many. And then the few that were left carried away captive to Babylon. For 70 years, Daniel being one of them. But God also had said to Jeremiah that after 70 years, he would again bring some of the people back, and he did. He had given other promises also to Jeremiah of what God will do in writing his law on the hearts of both Judah and Israel, which must yet be fulfilled, because it is stated that it will be done from the least to the greatest. They won't have to teach each other. Today, people are trying to teach each other. And sadly, maybe I shouldn't even say it that way. They are trying to condemn each other. Some will say the others can't be taught. We can't talk to them. They don't understand. That's how proud part of our nation is. It is not at all right. There are none so wrong that might have some good ideas for others. And there are none so right that they can't also be taught and be changed. We need it together as a nation. We need it in our political realm. We need it in our church. We need it in our homes. As I've often mentioned, the broken homes. We're not doing like we read here shortly in the past when Paul says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." I mentioned last week a picture that I saw husband and wife, back toward each other. Did not want to submit or love. And the child sitting there in tears. That's what's happening. That is one of the reasons, the bitterness that is there, the hardness that is there in such, that it brings about the death in our schools and the deaths in other places. Many, many places that is not even spoken of, all the deaths that take place in some of the larger cities. One shooting another, one killing another, one stabbing another. It is done. We are in a place of hardness. Again, mentioning one of the reasons. If we can kill the unborn, what is harder hearts than that? Killing a little baby, tearing it apart in its mother's womb, sometimes one way, sometimes another. A mother wanting that done. A doctor doing it. A country saying it's all right, stating the lie. A country that has known better for hundreds of years. And now, our last few years, when we become harder of heart, we are calling evil good. And sadly, just as sad, we're calling good evil. I think of one who wanted to be our president recently, almost putting the church in a place of wrongness. Yes, there are many churches that are not true to the Word of God. There are many churches that are wrong before God. But yet, most of the church is more right than the rest of the nation. Most of the church even needs to be listened to when they are not right themselves. The Lord Jesus said to the people in his day that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He said, listen to what they say, but don't do what they do. Listen to anybody that tells you the Word of God. The Word of God is true. It's the only thing true in the world, the only thing true in our nation. Yes, we have a good constitution, but that's not perfect. But the Word of God is perfect in its original meaning, in original way. Translations aren't always perfect. Sometimes they aren't always easy to understand. It's hard to bring one language into another plainly. But the message is there, enough that all of us should hear it, believe it, and do it. Believe it to the saving of our soul, and then pray for the saving of the souls of others, especially the children in our country. We're coming to the place where we have to pray it for ourselves, possibly first, the older generation. God didn't save me till I was 28, long after my childhood, long after my teenage years. We need to hear the Word of God when we're young. We should. There's no excuse not to. Many reasons, yes, but not excuses. None of us are excused, and all of us will find it out on the day of judgment. It's coming. It comes when death comes, and it'll come for those alive when Christ comes. We need to think of that. That's part of the Word of God. But coming back to this, to understand it all, pray, pray, pray. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who upbraideth not. Here, Paul says, continuing in prayer with thanksgiving, thank God for what he gave, and as I already mentioned, pray for what is needed. And then, especially in that third verse, Paul says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. We have two problems today. I have people in the radio audience that call up and say, do you know of anybody in our area that preaches the truth? One person stated that the older ministers are dying, and the younger ones are not preaching the Word of God as the older ones did. Too many seminaries are teaching evolution instead of creation, are not teaching God's holy Word in regard to what He tells us, how this whole world came into being. God spoke, and it was done, and it was good, just like that, as God tells us by the pen of Moses. God gave us that book by Moses, and the Lord Jesus said, if you don't believe Moses, how will you believe me? He wrote of me, and that's one of the things he did write, as well as creation and the history of Israel and many other things that were written by Moses in the first five books of the Bible, and then as well the other books written by Samuel, David, Isaiah, many other prophets, Jeremiah we referred to, spoke of the times then, spoke of the times coming, as Daniel realized. Jeremiah spoke of what would take place 70 years after the desolation of Israel. Jerusalem would lie there in waste. But Daniel, knowing it, prayed, yes, wonderfully, believing the word of God and praying on the basis of it. And we can do the same. Part of it is what God promised, and here the command is, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Also, one of the things we should be doing is what Christ said. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's God's command, that we pray that God will send laborers. How we need it, as I just mentioned. Some people say they can't find a true preacher in the area. How terrible in this country. Some even want to still call it a Christian nation. Some say it was a Christian nation in its beginning. There have been Christian people from the beginning, but we have not always been, and we certainly aren't today, a Christian nation following Christ. That's why people were called Christians first in Antioch. Not only believing that he died for them, but hearing his teaching as it came through Christ, as it came also through the apostles and others, that we should be followers of Christ. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Follow him through his own teaching. Follow him through those that he said, you are my witnesses. And that's what we have to pray for today, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest in this country, in all the world. That was also Christ's command, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We could take Jerusalem in two ways. One is beginning at home for us. Also, Jerusalem is the city of the great king, as Christ said it in the Sermon on the Mount, as David said it in Psalm 48. It is his city. As he sits in the heavens, he has plans for that city and promises as well that we could pray for. And as one psalm states, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, how we should do it, because it will be for the blessing of ourselves and others as well. Much hinges on that. God said to Abram, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. Abram lived in the vicinity where Jerusalem is now, promised to him. He says, look to the east, to the west, to the north and south, and I'll give you all of that. And that included where Jerusalem is today. God's promise. Yes, God judged them severely, terribly, terribly, terribly. Daniel even said, such has not been in any other place, in any other city, because God was jealous for them. He had given them so much, and they turned away from God, but also many promises for them. We might say more of both. And we need to think of it rightly, ourselves as well, when we have God's word, how we should listen to it. And those two things we just read, one, Paul to the church at Colossae, continue in prayer, pray for us also that utterance may be given. And the Lord Jesus, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Sadly, there are not only less preachers, but I'm afraid there are less listeners. I've referred to it before, read it in our paper some time ago, that 70% of the young people leave the church before they're 20. And then we wonder why they kill each other in the school. They're not learning from God. They're not repenting of their sin. They stay in their pride and their hatred. What an awful combination. They are in broken homes, results of it. They are in a nation that part of it is so proud that it doesn't want anything to do with the rest of the nation. Sowing hatred, terrible. Sowing hatred toward our president, awful. No submission, no listening to those that God has given us. And as Paul writes to the church at Rome, there's no powers that be but are of God. I read those words once to a circuit judge, and he said, "You make me tremble." Today we don't tremble before God. We don't tremble before His Word. The psalmist said, "Rejoice with trembling." Much to rejoice in when we have the Word, but we need to tremble lest we come short of it. Will we heed God's Word as we read it? Continue in prayer. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And as we can read in other ways as well, Paul writing not only to the Colossians, but to Timothy, he stated this, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." We are seeing more and more disruption, more and more terribleness in the streets, and some have burned buildings, awful ways of rebellion, pride, bitterness. Pray that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's way is, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Giving thanks that it's as good as it is. How thankful we can be that we have it so much better in our nation than many others. I'm thankful even that we have a president. That surprised me in the many good things that he has done. Some of the good appointments of men, a good vice president, other good things that are hopeful. And there's many that are just simply angry, rebellious, proud, bitter, lying, awful. How we need to pray that this will not be to the detriment of our nation, the detriment especially of our children, of the future, bringing God's judgment upon us, leading to violence that will make God say again, as they said in the time of Noah, "I repent that I made the earth," and it grieved him at his heart. Is God grieved over the United States of America after he has given this place to our pilgrim forefathers and then others through all the generations? And then after many generations, we have rebelled so much, so terrible. Pray, pray, pray. Pray the publican's prayer for ourselves. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Pray that God will teach us of Christ and give us Christ, who is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We also can say, abide with us, that God won't leave us. That was part of David's prayer, as we saw it put to verse in music last week. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And how we need to pray that. If God takes his Spirit from us, we are given over more and more to a reprobate mind.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.